We've been altering evolution as long as we have been human. The abilities to change keep kind of escalating with technological growth, and now they're kind of exploding. We have never kind of mined the depth or scanned the breadth of what human intelligence is and what human life is, and I think we may find out that we're capable of more than we thought. It's been several decades now since philosophy took what they call the linguistic turn, and people begin to seriously try to wrestle with how central language is to our very existence. A large part of, you might say, the software of the functioning human brain is language. We live within language to a tremendous extent and don't quite know it yet. There are certain kind of skills that we have yet to learn in order to kind of use language and not entirely be, as I say, used by it. Throughout Western civilization, at least since Plato and Socrates, people have accepted the premise that a self is something essential and separate from its descriptions. One of the things that we continually have to keep doing is learning how to wrestle with big ideas in a kind of a public way. There are a lot of people who are essentially wrestling with the big philosophical concepts, but they're doing it in their daily lives, and they don't know they're doing it. They don't know how much they've changed in a way. A lot of the rules of what you might call reality and proof and truth and things like that are not quite as clear and consistent as they were probably for most of us just a few decades ago. In the modern era, we saw a lot of conflict between belief systems. What you see a great deal of in the postmodern era is conflict within belief systems. It's not at all surprising to me that a lot of the most accessible theoretical work in postmodern thought and in what we call constructivism is done by women. Women historically have kind of suspected that the rules they lived by were sort of made up by somebody. What we are is always dependent on the context we're in. The trouble with the Enlightenment, as is often the case with human projects, is that they thought it was easier than it turned out to be. We probably have three or four different versions of reality running somewhere in our skulls at any given time. She felt this great sense of liberation. As she began to get a sense of her own power in relation to truth and falsehood. You cannot function without some sort of a sense of what's going to happen out front, but at the same time, you know now that nobody can foretell the future. They were, in a sense, opening up what some of the old-timers call a new path of evolutionary development. They call it cultural DNA, so we could communicate information, so to speak, not only genetically, but symbolically. What that means is that cultural evolution turns around and transforms biological evolution. People are tend to be so identified with their, what I would call their descriptions of self, and believe that those descriptions are really all you are. Sooner or later, and perhaps sooner, we're going to have to reappropriate Buddhism from the Buddhists and recognize that there is a kind of an evolutionary development that they've been struggling with for 2,500 years now that is not just a spiritual improvement. It's a knothole we've all got to get through somehow or another. And it's going to be very difficult to get people to think in those terms and to develop the kind of language and acceptable context within which we can wrestle with that evolutionary challenge.